are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you, your host once again on this Thursday edition of the program. My guest today is Rob Lauder. He has been embedded in Santa Clara watching 49ers training camp all week long. So we're going to get all of his insight to what's going on in camp, who's winning the one-on-one battles, what things are looking like in team drills, who's running with the ones, who's running with the twos, and all that stuff from Rob in just one moment. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. Those rates and reviews really always help on iTunes. We're also on Spotify. You can find this podcast everywhere that you can find podcasts and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. And you can follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's the best place to get mailbag questions in. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And along with the podcast streams and finding where to subscribe to the show, you can also find other articles and content at LockedOn49ers.com. My guest today is Rob Lauder. You know him from his work at Niners Wire. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob_Lauder. Been following his Twitter feed during training camp as he has been in Santa Clara dropping some very nice videos as well as some articles at Niners Wire. So we're going to get into all that stuff. And once again, thank you very much, Rob, for joining the show.
Of course, man. Anytime. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you. It's been a little while. I think it was pre-draft, maybe last time I talked to you. So a lot has happened since then, but the team is on the field. The practices are happening, so you're getting that exciting feeling where it's like, okay, football is actually here. And it may be overdoing it, maybe taking a little bit too much from these videos. You're kind of stirring it up on Twitter when you throw a video up there and everyone's like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. This guy's trash. You know, so
right,
it's always
right.
Funny to see those overreactions to just one play and one rep in practice without any other context. But that being said, who's trash and who's great?
Man, that's a loaded question right there. But to your point, though, it is true. There was a point, I guess, over the last couple of days where I've actually kind of felt a little bad. Not necessarily for Richard Sherman because that was a popular video, but it's like, you know, people like, I post reps for videos for almost every single reps of one-on-one. It's not obviously one like Marquise Goodwin versus Richard Sherman is going to get more popularity than most.
Mm-hmm.
But it by the reactions to the video, it comes off like I'm trying to call the guy out, you know, or embarrass him for getting burned, when in reality it's just one of the, you know, the 100 reps I've filmed so far. So it actually got to a point where I was feeling bad. And like, I, you know, before I knew it, all of this NFL Network coverage and everything was spun around that one video. Now, I'm not the only one that filmed it, but it was definitely the one that gained some traction. So it was,
right.
It was kind of definitely an interesting feeling over the past couple of days, kind of being the instigator of all this this mayhem and overreaction to the fact that Richard Sherman apparently can't play football anymore. So it was interesting. But thanks to your question. Who sucks? Who sucks and who doesn't suck? Was that the question?
That was pretty much the question. Actually, let me put it to you a different way, because you did have an article at Niners Wire today about some winners and losers. So we'll start there. And one guy who's been getting a lot of press throughout camp is rookie wide receiver Dante Pettis, showing off some quicks. I've seen a couple of videos where he made guys look silly with some quick moves, and he's got these weird, like, plastic man long arms and plucks the ball out of the air. It looks like his hands are pure, and he definitely moves differently than some other receivers, and I can see that being the thing that really drew Kyle Shanahan to Dante Pettis, because he likes those guys with that ability to separate, and Dante Pettis definitely has that. So what have you seen from Dante Pettis throughout camp?
He's looked good, man. He's looked real good. Now, I mean, you kind of have to, one-on-ones, you can just start out with, he owns one-on-ones, because the receivers, for the most part, don't play near as much press. They play pretty close to receivers, but they don't really play that press bump coverage in the same way that they would during a game. So it's a little less valuable, but at the same time, you're still getting his route running ability, and he's had no problem handling one-on-ones with ease. He's probably one of the best 49ers receivers when it comes to one-on-ones. But when you get to the team drills, he's still doing fine. It's, you know, the big worry when it came to Pettis was, you know, how much was he going to get manhandled at the line and then at the catch point. So he's handled both pretty well. Today, to end practice, there was a three-play series. The last three plays of practice that all went to Pettis. The first one I cannot remember if it was, I wrote on Twitter that it was a deep out route. I can't remember if it was a deep out route or a crossing route from the right side all the way across the field, but Jimmy Garoppolo dropped that one in between three different defenders, and Pettis kind of slid down and made the catch. And then the very next play, he tried to go to him again on a little short hitch, but that one was batted away by Keller Witherspoon. And then on the third one, and, you know, this might have been a little glimpse into Shanahan's, the way Shanahan plays. I didn't see the whole route, but I knew for sure that it was some sort of a double move because Dante Pettis had almost, you know, maybe six to eight yards of separation from Akella Witherspoon. So it led me to believe that he probably made it look like he was running the same hitch, but then he turned it upfield and gained all that separation, and it was real easy. It was still a beautiful throw from Garoppolo, but it was a 40-plus yard touchdown to end practice. They literally blew the horn for practice right after the play. So it was a pretty impressive, probably the most impressive series for Dante Pettis through all training camp, who, and I don't want to put too much emphasis on first-team reps because the 49ers seem to have, this year more than last year, they give all their receivers as many first-team reps as they can give them. Now, that's not saying that, you know, Garcon, Goodwin, they get the majority of first-team reps, but Pettis was in there, and that was against the first-team defense. So it was a pretty good series for him, and kind of showcasing his ability to get open and make plays. So it's been impressive. And I wasn't down on the Pettis pick whatsoever, but he's still been more impressive than I would have expected this early on.
And then, yeah, it'll be fun to see when things really start to get physical and when the preseason games start, because the knock on Pettis is his frame. You know, it's part of his strength and part of his weakness as well, because he's only 185 pounds or 190 or whatever it is. A very slight frame, thin guy, sort of rubbery, and makes him more flexible that way. But we'll see when things get very physical if he can still look as good as he has throughout camp. So I don't know how physical they've had a chance to be with him in practice because the pads have been on. But that'll be something definitely to watch. But this far, it seems like, yeah, he's got that ability that's going to be pretty fun to see how Kyle Shanahan uses him. Even if he's not, you know, a starter necessarily as a rookie or even in his first couple of years, he's going to have that ability to return kicks and then use that same athleticism whenever he's put on the field in probably multiple positions. What spot has he lined up in the most?
Oh, he's been all over the place. You know, he's been on this. He hasn't been relegated to the slot whatsoever. He has lined up there, but he's been all over the field on both sides. You know, we were noticing that for a while he was lining up as an outside receiver, but on the inside of the numbers, and then, you know, and eventually he worked his way out. So he's been all over the place, which is what I think the 49ers drafted him for. I think there was a lot made out of the, you know, because he had a slight frame, because he was only 185 pounds, that he would be a slot receiver, which he didn't even really play a whole lot of until his last season in Washington. So he's been all over the place, which is kind of what I expected, and it's the same way Washington used him for the majority of his time there.
So on the flip side of that, you had some losers on your article as well, and I know it's been rough for 49ers fans with some recent first-round picks from the Trent Baalke era that haven't had a chance to be on the field in Jimmy Ward, Eric Armstead, Joshua Garnett, and all three of those guys already are dinged up in camp. And it almost seemed like Kyle Shanahan sort of called out Joshua Garnett today. Can you talk about that a little bit?
He did. And it's about as much as a head coach will ever call out one of his players. And it, you know, if you just look at the quote by itself, you don't kind of hear him say it, or you don't really kind of get used to how a head coach will talk about players. What he said was kind of telling, because he basically, I think somebody asked about the competition between Cooper and Garnett and the fact they haven't been able to get out there much, whereas, you know, Cooper is just now getting out of the field. He kind of mentioned the fact that he was surprised that Garnett wasn't out in practice today, and that he would be even more surprised if he wasn't out there tomorrow. That's basically a warning saying, I better see you out there in practice tomorrow, because in reality, the only thing that happened was Joshua Garnett banged knees with another teammate, and he had a little bit of pain and swelling. So it was pretty clear to me that Shanahan was probably disappointed that he missed any time to begin with, let alone multiple days from kind of what would be considered a minor training camp injury. So that was definitely something that caught my ear right when he said it. And I think before he said he'd be surprised, he mentioned something to the effect of, you know, it's hard to win a job if you're not out there. And that's been Garnett's case to the ninth degree, especially after his last season, where that knee injury basically became a year's worth of injured reserve, and, you know, all the headlines, I wouldn't say headlines, but all the cloud about kind of reshaping his body for Shanahan's offense. And then, you know, you get to training camp and it's your ultimate opportunity. And I think, and I believe he was the first person out there to start at that position, but he seems like he's, not the opportunity is gone now, but it seems like he's squandering it a little bit. But, you know, I'm not one to put myself in a player's position or know what he's gone through with his body, but I could definitely tell that's what Shanahan was thinking.
My guest today is Rob Lauder of Niners Wire. I want to get a little bit more into the trenches here with you, Rob. Let's get ugly. Let's get dirty. We've been talking a lot about wide receivers and DBs, and I had Eric Crocker on Monday, and we talked a lot about those guys and the skill positions. But let's get dirty here. So talking Joshua Garnett there, and with Cooper coming back to practice, and with Mike Person, who was the number one guard when camp opened, I mean, is this a situation where right now I'd almost be surprised if Garnett's getting called out and he's already not the guy who's running with the ones. Was Cooper running? I mean, do you get the feeling that Cooper and Mike Person are the guys that are going to be really actually battling it out at guard more so than Joshua Garnett at this point?
I think so. I think the 49ers, with all things considered, would probably want it to be between Cooper and Person. I'm not sure, like we just talked about, I'm not sure how much faith they have in Garnett or what their opinion is of him and kind of the general feeling around the club is towards him. So that's the way it kind of looks to me. And I know Cooper has just kind of started easing into the action. He's been doing, I believe, just individual drills for now. I caught a video of him earlier today, and he fared well. I can't remember the defensive line that he was going against. I want to say Julian Taylor. I'm not sure, though. And he looked good. I mean, if I had to take a guess now, I wouldn't be surprised if Cooper won the job as long as his injury doesn't kind of have any nagging effects on him. But, yeah, it was going out in Person, then it became just Person, and now it's Cooper in Person. So it'll be an interesting kind of development that I think kind of drags its way all the way through. The 49ers probably won't be solidifying that, or maybe by the third preseason game when you're at that rehearsal stage, it'll start to seem a little bit more clear who's got the spot.
And it's interesting because has Person been lining up at center or tackle or anything else? Because there's got to be whoever's the backup there has to be pretty versatile. And it would seem that if Person is that guy who could be maybe a backup center and do some other things, that it would really be between Cooper and Garnett to be the other guy at guard, right?
Right. I haven't noticed Person lining up anywhere else other than that spot. That doesn't mean he hasn't. You know, it's a bit hard to – because whenever you're kind of watching team drills of practice, you always have to place yourself kind of at the far end, at either far end, just so you can kind of get a whole width of the field and be able to see everything going on. Because you have the offensive and defensive players standing on either side of the field, so you can't really stand right up next to the player. So that doesn't mean the Person hasn't gotten snaps at center. But obviously they've been wanting Richmond to get the majority of those. So I know Person is capable of playing center, and, you know, that versatility is always nice. So, you know, I think he's got a good shot of making the roster no matter what, whereas Cooper would be, you know, solely in competition for that right guard spot. So it'll be interesting how they handle it. But like you said, it might come down to keeping one of Cooper or Garnett. I have no idea where to go with that at this early on.
Yeah, and that's another reminder. It is still early. Still have four preseason games to go. So let's stay on the offensive line. What about new free agent addition Weston Richburg, which is going to be a huge key to the 49ers offensive line this year at center? How has he looked early in camp? Haven't seen a lot really either way. And I guess if you're not talking about an offensive lineman, that's usually a good thing, right?
Right. And I was actually just the other day talking to some of the other beat writers about that. It's, you know, cornerbacks and an offensive lineman. Usually, for the most part, when you're not talking about him, it means you're not getting beat, which is a good thing. And that's kind of how it's gone for Richburg so far. And he's had his fair share of struggles in one-on-one drills, but, you know, like we all know, that's not exactly a reflection of in-game action and what's going to happen in-game. As far as the team drills goes, I haven't noticed him being a liability, and I noticed the snaps have gone to Garoppolo. So, you know, it seems like he's been just fine. Shanahan was asked about him a little earlier today, and he was very complimentary, saying that, you know, and he's, the first thing he brought up was what he brings to the table in the run game, in the fact that he's athletic enough to get the kind of outside shades and get those reach blocks and do some of the stuff that maybe the past 49ers centers weren't able to do. So he seems like he's on good ground and he's working out so far. It's just, you know, at this point it's a little tough to tell. But I haven't seen anything that would consider him a liability getting beat or all that negative press.
And one thing I liked seeing from him in some of those clips that he had up on Twitter is that he was going against some power. You know, at center, you're going to see some stout players in there, and Earl Mitchell trying to rush on him, and it looked like he did a really good job against that strength. So that looked very good. Another guy, and you mentioned him a little bit earlier, was Julian Taylor, the seventh-round draft pick, dealt with a lot of injuries in college at Temple, but he would seem to have a lot of tools that the 49ers would be able to utilize at the big end position. They're really stacked and very deep at that spot, but it seems like maybe he had a little bit of a day today or the last couple of days, because I've seen his name thrown out there by beat writers recently.
Yeah, he's been good. I haven't picked him out as making any wild type plays, but obviously he's shown enough to kind of earn that spot right next to Armstead or in replacement at Armstead. So that's been interesting to see. The media brought him into the because usually when we get to hear from players, it's just right after Shanahan in the same auditorium, but the 49ers staff brought Julian Taylor into the media room, presumably because of the fact that he's kind of been thrown into the fire a little bit, and he seemed pretty humble about the ordeal, but he also seemed pretty confident in what he was able to do. And kind of like we said about offensive linemen, I haven't noticed him being victimized by any sense, so that's good. And he does have similar tools. He's not quite as tall, but he does have the same body type as Armstead or Buckner or those guys. You know, he seems like a pretty athletic big guy. It's interesting to me, though, because they're putting him at that big end spot, if I'm not mistaken. That's also where Ronald Blair's been playing, and he's seemed, now, you know, you have the difference in performances based on the competition they're facing. You know, if somebody's playing with the backups or with the third strings and they look good, then that has to be attributed. But Ronald Blair's looked really good too. He spent a significant amount of time in the backfield, and it surprised me a little bit that they didn't kind of shuffle Ronald Blair in there at least first to see what he could do against the first string. But, you know, like I said, they might see something. They spend a lot more time with these players than we do, so they could see something in Taylor that they might want to take advantage of, or maybe they're just throwing him into the fire to see how he handles it, to see if, you know, he's a seventh-round pick, and seventh-round picks aren't guaranteed a roster spot. So maybe they are, seeing what he's capable of and judging whether or not that he's going to get consideration for one of those spots going into the season.
Rob, was there anything else that stood out to you with some of the work in the trenches that we saw on Wednesday?
DeForest Buckner is very good at football. I feel like I'd be doing myself and my last draft crush. I really, really had a disservice if I didn't mention that. That guy is just abs. And I didn't see who it was, and I'm kicking myself in the butt for this, but I could have sworn that DeForest Buckner today threw an offensive lineman at Jimmy Garoppolo's feet and then just put his hands up, like, you know, because that's what they do. Whenever you get the sack, you obviously can't hit the quarterback, so you just put your hands up.
Yeah.
And I could have sworn he threw an offensive lineman at Jimmy Garoppolo's feet and then just kind of walked off, which was pretty awesome. I just didn't see who it was, and it was kind of too fast to basically confirm what it is, and nobody around me saw it, so I kind of just learned about it, and then what about my day? But he's been absolutely dominant, like just unreal. But that's, I guess, not a surprise to many people. Yeah, Thomas has been very good. He's been, and it seems like the team is making a pretty concerted effort to give him quite a bit more snaps along the interior of the offensive line, which is where he's more natural. Where I played at Stanford, that sort of thing. And he's looked really good there. Not in the one-on-one. Obviously, he's been dominating the one-on-one drills. But he's looked really good in team drills, and he's been pretty disruptive. So it's been good to see that. I'm trying to think of some guys on the offense of the ball. Of course, Joe Staley, Joe Stanley. Mike Glinsey, the 49ers first-round pick this year. He's struggled during the one-on-one drills, and I think they're purposely matching him up against guys that are a little faster, like Cassius Marsh, Jeremiah Tauchu, just because that's what I think his biggest struggles were in college, was not necessarily with the bigger guys, but with the faster guys. So they've been kind of working him against those guys, but during the team's portion of practice, he seemed fine. I haven't noticed the right side of the offensive line caving in at any point. So it's definitely been a very, very contested battle between those two groups. Something that hopefully pays dividends going into the season.
You are listening to Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local daily sports podcast network. If you would like to advertise with us, reach out to thousands of loyal 49ers and NFL fans. Local and national sponsorships are available. Email lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And my guest today is Rob Lauder of Niners Wire. He's been in Santa Clara looking at 49ers training camp and watching these guys. And we're getting pretty excited about some of the things that that we're talking about here with one-on-ones and just the video clips and just the fact that there's football and a lot of overreacting. I'm definitely guilty of some of that stuff. So kind of like the first question I asked you here on the podcast, Rob, when I said, who's amazing and who's trash? Let me ask you this question. If you were drafting players from the 49ers roster, a blank roster based on nothing else, no prior knowledge of these players, drafting based on just the week's worth of training camp practices so far, who would be like your top selection? Who you'd be picking like top five if you're just drafting from what you've seen this week?
Well, I mean, if you're taking things as they are in the world of the NFL, I think Jimmy Garoppolo would have to be your first pick just because he's the quarterback. But that is obviously a cop out, you know, because everybody knows you got to draft the quarterback first overall.
So yeah, come on, go out on a limb, Louder.
Garoppolo. What was that?
Come on, go out on a limb, Louder.
I know, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. I had to get that out of the way.
No, that's a good pick. That's...
You know, but then I just got done talking about DeForest Buckner, and I feel like even the way he's playing, the 49ers got him at 7, and that was a steal. So even then, I feel like that's not going out on a limb either. I've checked off two of them, and now I've got to really struggle here.
No, but that's good, because
I'm going to give this moment to Marquise Goodwin. Now, Okay. Obviously, the question was, who would you draft first? But I had to cross a couple players off the list that were just too obvious to make your segment entertaining here.
No, but I mean, that's okay. It's based on just the week's worth of practice. You kind of hope that Jimmy Garoppolo and DeForest Buckner, who you really hope that are the best players for the 49ers, you hope they are the guys that are standing out. And if you're just watching, knowing nothing else, and seeing practice happening, and there's no numbers on the jerseys, you're like, okay, that guy and that guy. That's a good start. So that's okay, too. So there's no cop out here.
The Buckner is definitely one of those that guys. I mean, you can't miss him. He's just so freaking huge. But, you know, and I've had this tweet saved on my drafts for a while. It's just Marquise Goodwin, I believe, might be, depends on how the offense rolls and kind of, you know, how the guys fall throughout the season. But I think Marquise Goodwin might be on the cusp of developing himself into a fringe number one wide receiver. And when I say number one wide receiver, I mean a receiver capable of 1,500 yards and maybe 10 plus touchdowns on the year. And a receiver has always been my position. I played it all the way up through high school, and I've always had an affinity for it. And I don't want to be hyperbolic by any means, but the amount of improvement and well-roundedness his game has shown from last year and even going into this year is just mind-blowing to me, the amount of evolution his game has seen. He's now capable of running the complete route tree. I mean, you saw the move that he put on Richard Sherman at the line in order to make that video look so ridiculous, and that's where he won it, was on the line of scrimmage, which is not an easy thing to do, especially against a guy like Sherman, even if he is coming off an Achilles injury. So his development of his game and the fact that he can run every route and run it well and doing all this at 4.2, whatever it is, 4.27 speed is a pretty amazing thing. Now, he still needs to build up a little bit more consistency with catching the football, but like I was saying, I feel like him and Garoppolo now have that connection to where he knows he can lean on really with any type of a pass play, and you know, those are the things that kind of build up number one receivers is they have their own ability to run the complete route tree, and they can always rely upon, and they have the faith of the quarterback. And I feel like all that's kind of fallen into place for Goodwin, which is totally crazy to say. If you look at his first 4 years in the NFL, it's just you wouldn't think that he would be at this stage of his career. But it's been amazing to watch, and I think he's kind of, you know, like I said, if he can stay healthy, he's running on that conversation of just being a really, 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 really good receiver.
Well, that first of all, if that's a draft tweet, that's way more than 140 characters, so you're going to have to pare that down a little bit. But
I'll work it down. I'll figure it out.
And I can't wait for that fire tweet to get dropped because a fringe number one, 10 touchdown type of a player. I mean, that's massive value to have in your football team, like you mentioned, for a guy that you got for nothing who sort of toiled around in Buffalo for 4 years and didn't do all of that much. And actually all the guys that were in Buffalo are in much better situations and playing better and starters now elsewhere. So they were definitely doing something wrong in Buffalo. And that kind of goes back to my point all along, which has been, look, if you've got your quarterback in place and you have one of the best play callers and offensive minds in football and Kyle Shanahan running your football team, throw all of your assets on the defensive side of the ball and then let's scheme up for these guys that you have. And I think the 49ers would be okay if that's the way they tried to build this thing.
Right. No, it definitely is. And you can tell that the majority of the clout talent, the drafted talent, is on the defensive side of the ball. And the defense has looked outstanding. I was talking to Joe, 49ers Joe, earlier today, saying, look, we know the 49ers offense is going to be good. It's not, there's almost no way it's going to be bad just because of the fact of how Kyle Shanahan runs his offense.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been plenty of times throughout camp where the defense was giving the offense nothing, and they were unable to move the ball. And that's going, you know, and this is all going against the defense, you know, the 49ers. It's the 49ers offense versus the 49ers defense, so there's a lot of predictability there on both sides. But, you know, the defense was giving the 49ers offense all it could handle, and you know that the 49ers offense has some clout. So, you know, I think that this might be the first year where the defense takes a significant step forward in its development. And I can't remember who I was talking to, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were pretty, you know, across the board, a top 15 defense, at least, going into the season. You can't underestimate the fact that it's the first time you've gone into the offseason with the same coordinators since Jim Harbaugh in 2014. So that's, you know, that helps a lot.
Right, absolutely. Rob, before I let you go, there's a couple of more players I want to ask you about, and a lot of people are excited to see the rookies on the field when they finally do start playing some games here next week when the Cowboys come to Levi's Stadium. So first of all, let's start with the first of these draft picks that I want to talk about, and that is third-round linebacker Fred Warner. What spot is he playing, and how has he looked in camp?
They started about at the linebacker spot, which is not really what he played in college. He was more of like a Sam linebacker. He was in coverage a lot, Sam/outside linebacker. And, you know, that's where the NFL world learned how good he was in coverage. And the 49ers have kind of put him into that Mike linebacker spot with the obvious hopes of pairing him with Reuben Foster at the Will spot. And so far, he's looked fine. He has no problem. You know, he's a bigger dude. He's 6'3". He's kind of, you know, stands out as a linebacker, but he's had no problem, you know, shooting blocks and mowing each other and stuff like that. And he's shown a fair amount of kind of fight to his game. He doesn't seem timid whatsoever. That's just not a part of how he's looked. So he's looked fine. I'm not sure when he will find a way. You know, obviously it depends on if Malcolm Smith stays healthy and kind of where Brock Coyle is and with the team and stuff like that. I'm not sure when he'll see his first significant in-game action, but he looks ready for it, and he's definitely impressive. He's for a guy who was kind of lauded for his coverage abilities, he's looked just fine in the run part of the game. And it will definitely be a sight to see when eventually it is, whether it's this season or next season, when they can get both him and Foster on the field at the same time. It'll be a pretty young and tenacious defense.
So there's a long athletic corner the 49ers drafted in Tarvarius Moore, and I've kind of always expected that DJ Reed, the fifth-round pick, would actually show up and be a little bit better earlier on just because he's not changing positions, and, you know, he was a longtime starter and a very productive player at Kansas State. How have the third and fifth round rookie cornerbacks looked?
Moore's definitely taken his share of bumps and bruises, but that's completely to be expected. You could ask all the coaches about him and say that's completely to be expected for a guy in his position. So he's kind of still working through the position, like he never really played it before. So he's had his first series of beatings, especially in one-on-ones, but that's, like you said, that's just part of the position. And you can definitely see the athleticism kind of the frame that they obviously were looking at when they drafted him. But DJ Reed, the fifth-round pick, has looked really, really good. They've kind of moved him around, almost like a Tyrann Mathieu type of movement, where he played a little bit of free safety. He's played some nickel cornerback. He's played some perimeter cornerback. He's kind of been all over the place and seems to have done well at all three spots. So it's been pretty impressive. He had a really, really impressive interception a couple days ago at the free safety spot. It was thrown to Pettis, and there was another cornerback in coverage. I can't remember who it is, but he came up and right at the sideline made an interception, just out of Pettis' reach and then, you know, tapped his toes on the sideline and fell down and everything. So it was pretty impressive. He's been good, and he's, whether it's been one-on-ones or team drills, he's held his own. So I think he's definitely, you know, he's kind of worked his way into being the primary backup for K'Wan Williams and, you know, some a little bit of depth at free safety as well.
Do you see a situation where if DJ Reed shows that he's ready and good enough that he will actually be that role that Jimmy Ward was supposed to have and they could cut ties with Jimmy Ward, especially if he's not able to get on the field?
You know, yes, I believe he's capable and of the role that they were describing for Jimmy Ward, but at the same time, it's just, I don't know what they're going to do with Jimmy Ward because he's getting that $8 million, $8.5 million no matter what.
Right.
After they picked up his fifth-year option. So I'm not necessarily sure they would see any value in cutting him unless they just really wanted somebody else on the roster and were willing to fork that out for it. But, you know, I wouldn't surprise me at all if they would, if they were making some phone calls to see if anybody else around the league were interested in Jimmy Ward for a year. So it'll be interesting. But to your initial question, I think DJ is definitely capable of filling that same role in the faculties. And maybe that's, you know, it's a good question because maybe that's what they're trying to figure out. If he's capable of backing up all, you know, two or three of those spots, then, you know, it's a pretty valuable piece. And it's the same guy that they were describing for Jimmy Ward, except for he can't stay on the field.
Right, and then that would also make it very difficult to move forward, period, because he's making that $8 million or whatever it is. So, yeah, that it almost makes it so you can't trade Ward anyway. But one more rookie I want to ask you about here before I let you go, Rob, and that is seventh-round wide receiver Richie James. Right now, Dante Pettis is getting all the press and all the love, but how is the seventh-round rookie looking? Because he's a player I like, and he's a player I expect to battle and earn a spot, but, you know, there's some competition there at the bottom of the roster.
There is. There's a lot of competition, and if he doesn't make the roster, I'd be the first person to say that it's to no fault of his own, because he's been good. He's looked spry, and like I said, the 49ers have moved their receivers around a lot. He caught a really impressive pass from Jimmy Garoppolo about 30 yards downfield, right in the middle of double coverage a couple days ago, and he looks good. You know, he's a small guy. He's definitely a slot guy. He would be, if he made the roster, he'd kind of be the primary backup to Trent Taylor, which wouldn't be a bad idea. But at the same time, that is a super crowded group because unless there's some sort of surprise, you could almost guarantee a spot for Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, Dante Pettis. That's four. Kendrick Bourne, the undrafted free agent from last year, seems like he has earned himself a spot. He's been good, and you can tell he's got a little connection going with Garoppolo. So, you know, maybe there's two spots and maybe there's only one if Shanahan decides to keep six wide receivers. So, you know, and with that six wide receiver, you're always looking for a little bit of value that extends beyond just the position they play and into special teams, which, you know, and one of the biggest surprises for me at camp is the fact that Aaron Burbridge has gotten quite a few first team reps. He's looked good. He's looked like he can hold his own. You know, he's made plenty of plays against the first-team defense, and he's gotten the ball plenty of times. And he's considered one of the, you know, the premier special teams players on the team. Kyle Shanahan just talked today about the fact that he despite the fact that he'd only been in the league a couple years, and one of those years he was hurt, he already had a reputation among other special teams coaches as being an outstanding special teams player. So that, you know, that's kind of unique, and you can't necessarily discount that. So, you know, James has looked good. Like I said, if he finds himself, you know, if the 49ers are going to try and squeeze him out of the practice squad, that necessarily won't be any fault of his own. It's just a crowded group. It's a lot different than last year where, you know, things were wide open for a couple of undrafted free agents to make the team. So he's looked good. He's definitely had his fair share of plays. He's a real shifty guy. He's, you know, tough to get your hands on. And he's done well in pretty every aspect of the game. It's just a matter of, it's the numbers game, man. Sometimes you got, you know, a good player hits the books.
And that's one of the big, you know, upsides to this second year for the 49ers is they have depth. They might actually be cutting NFL players this season, and it's going to be some very difficult decisions to be made on that roster when cut down day happens. Rob, always a pleasure to talk to you. You guys can find Rob Lauder's work at Niners Wire. You can follow him on Twitter at @Rob_Lauder. Rob, thanks once again here for coming on the show and joining me on Locked On 49ers. And let's do it again soon during the season.
Of course, man. Anytime. Appreciate you having me on.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again to Rob for joining the show. Love the camp conversation. I will be joined by Oscar Aparicio, who is one of the co-hosts of The Better Rivals podcast. His co-host David Newman has also been on the show with me here. It's time to give Oscar a turn, and we'll talk to him about some scheme stuff and talk 49ers on Monday and keep all the camp coverage going as well as we head toward preseason game number one and, of course, another Winky Wednesday next week. All that right here on Locked On 49ers.